This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Greg Buttle, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. That's right. It used to be the Buttle Show, but now it's the K. Show.
Thank you, Greg, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a Tuesday, beautiful Tuesday in New York. It is February 7th, 2023. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. Hope you're all doing well. We're until 6:30 today, unfortunately. We don't have the full
No.
Well, you can stay till 7 if you want. Sure, Dan, appreciate your feedback on the
Knicks pregame.
Knicks magic. Give your thoughts.
That is true.
Yeah. And you do have a lot to say about basketball.
I do. Especially tonight. You know, we got the huge Knicks Magic game, which all eyes of the world are on. But side note, LeBron's 36 away from setting the record.
Not getting it. Not getting it.
But Michael has decided he's not getting it tonight.
Not getting it.
People are spending a lot of money to be in the building tonight for that.
Well, they're wasting their money.
I don't know. They need the game. What are they, 13th in the West?
Well, they'll win.
They need the game.
They'll win.
Well, you don't know.
Let's make a bet.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, I think
hardwood.
But will they win comfortably where he could say, all right, I got 30 points. I'm going to save it for the TNT game Thursday and run the risk of maybe losing the game late?
Yep.
Then why are all these people paying thousands of dollars to see the game? Just
jabronis.
Just do it.
If you can do it, I think you do it.
You do it.
We'll do it.
Why?
Oh, wait, here's the thing.
All of a sudden now they care about national television?
Well, if you want the rest, he's on national television. It's on national television.
Well, I thought the whole conversation was...
No, he's saying because it's the Bucks on Thursday.
Oh, you got to stop with that. Let's be honest. Let's look each other's eyes if we can. What percentage of NBA fans know that Kareem played for the Bucks? 10?
Well, then every other one that doesn't know that, they should stop watching the sport.
But strong.
See, that's really strong, but that would really, the ratings would really suffer.
And here's a really important piece that we have to add in here, because Michael's so sure. If the Lakers are winning, but LeBron's having an insane night, like at this point he's, 12 for 15 from the floor, he's just dominating. Don't you think you want to just set it on a night like that rather than risk you have another? I think you go for it.
So you set up the symmetry of it. Oh, it's I'm a Laker and Kareem was a Laker and we're playing the Bucks and Kareem was a Buck. And then you set the record tonight. You might lose the game by 30 on national television, get humiliated.
That's a great point.
Or, on national television tonight against Oklahoma City, score 45, by 30, and celebrate breaking this record. Over something. Oh, he played for the Bucks? Who cares?
When he doesn't break it tonight, I want you both down to me tomorrow.
First of all, I'll never bow down to you. I don't care. If you replaced God, I would worship Satan.
Why? Oh, why would you say that?
Wait, how would he replace God, by the way?
I don't know. That's why I didn't have to worry
about it happening. But that was very telling, Michael. The point is he's not bowing to
any circumstance.
Well,
just the idea. No, not $10. Not lunch. I got to bow down to him. He sees value in that.
Yeah, I do.
Would you see value? If I said, Peter, I could pay you $10 or bow down to you, you take the $10.
I'd rather have the bow down.
Coffee. We'll bet coffee or I bow down to you.
I've never had coffee. Why would I bet coffee?
I would take the coffee.
No, but I'm just talking to Peter now. Was there any scenario where you're going to want to get bowed down to?
What kind of narcissistic
human waste would sit there and say, the bet is I got to bow down to you? No.
Michael, real quick, why are you wearing a suit today?
It's not your business, really.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said to me earlier when I asked.
Really? I've got big meetings, big things happening.
You dress a meeting so big that you dressed in a suit for it?
When you meet executives, you must be in a suit.
Oh,
no. I'm co-hosting the Thurman Munson dinner tonight.
Tonight's the old Thurman Munson dinner.
We got invited.
We did?
Yeah.
John Cerullo loves the show.
I've been in the past and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Who else is being honored tonight?
Show Buck Walter. He's going to be there.
I love Showbuck.
I know. By the way, that shirt shows you how thin you've gotten. I've never seen you look that way.
I'm not that thin.
No, you look great.
Do you like the sweater?
Yeah, and you look great.
Thank you.
Terrific. All right, so here's a little quiz. How many adults in the United States will bet on the Super Bowl?
450 billion.
How many adults are there?
I'm going to say 40 million.
40 million people. 40 million adults. Don?
No. 200 million.
200. There's only 300 million people.
The whole country's 300 million. You gotta,
yeah.
So you think 200 million, including like Marco and Charlie, are going to be like betting?
Yeah, through their parents.
50.4 million.
I don't
people.
Know. Oh, I wasn't
thank
really.
Thank you very much.
The and they are going to bet approximately $16 billion on the Super Bowl. According to survey results released Tuesday by the American Gaming Association, it's up. The number of expected Super Bowl bettors is up 61% from last year's survey, and is equivalent to how many adults in the U.S. participate in running.
What? Participate in running?
Yeah.
Why did that come up?
That's what David Purdon wrote.
Why? Well, my question would be why. You want to bet, right? You can bet on anything. You could bet on the Knicks Magic tonight. Why the Super Bowl?
Because everybody wants to have more of an involvement in it, I believe.
See, I would think you'd bet on things that are less interesting to make them interesting, not something that's already interesting.
I would agree. I won't bow down to you on that, but I agree with you.
You know, like the Super Bowl's interesting. It's a championship game, most popular sport in our country. You got 2 weeks of buildup. A lot of people consume at parties with all kinds of wings and nachos and delicious food.
Delicious.
And why do you need the bet to make it interesting? It's already interesting.
Now, according to Caesars Sportsbook, Monday reported 73% of the bets that had been placed and 74% of the money wagered was on the Eagles to cover the spread.
Well, people are captivated.
They're captivated by your pick, which you've already said was 3 points on
the
Eagles.
Yeah, 3-point play. Well, they're captivated by the two games. But can you afford to be suckered into the result of the two games? But also, this was a weird season. And, you know, we kind of forget because Hurts got hurt how dominant the Eagles were. There was really only one team in the entire league that cracked the code of the Eagles. Only one team with Hurts healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Washington Commanders. No one else could figure them out. And the Commanders, last I checked, are not in the Super Bowl. Not Philadelphia's concern. That's pretty important to look at. Was Kansas City that dominant? Matter of fact, we only have to go 2 weeks ago where it seemed like the world was convinced that Cincinnati was going to the Super Bowl, myself included.
I really believe, Peter,
mm-hmm.
Don, all week, is going to be doing the okey-doke. Because he wants to try to fool me. Because if I pick the same thing as him, he's in the dunk tank.
Well, I think
and we all know how scared I am of that.
Well, yeah. It's having ice in it now.
Yeah,
well, you know, they had a dunk tank element in the NHL skills.
Yeah, they did.
It looked awful. Sidney Crosby didn't want to be dunked
in the beautiful Fort Lauderdale sun on the beach. Nice cool water beneath your feet. Yeah, I'm sure they were crying when they got dunked in the water.
They didn't seem happy.
I got to tell you, I think what it's one of Don's all-time misassessments.
Right.
That he thinks it's like fun.
Right.
I think it's annoying. When you're not expecting it, and then you
right, and then you have to do the rest of the show soaking wet.
So we have this whole bet, 18 weeks, sweating it out. Oh, my God, I lose. Ruining my weekends because I might lose. Because I might be slightly annoyed at the beach bet.
So,
that's what kills me
so
about
give
this
us,
show.
Give us a real suggestion.
Spikes. No,
We're
I mean.
We're going to get wet during the summer.
What?
Like if I was dunked in milk. How about this? Well, no, listen. It is what it is. Why should it change on my account, right?
But why would milk be that much worse?
I say give him a live
full
toaster.
Suit.
Really? Give him a live toaster.
What do you say?
Full suit.
You should be wearing a
live
full
toaster.
Wait, a full soup?
Suit.
Suit.
What do you mean? You're wearing a suit?
Yeah. Like what I'm wearing right now.
That would be really annoying.
Okay, so why don't we do that? What's that?
No, we're not changing this.
No, it's too late.
Here, if Don loses, all right, we'll also have somebody hit him with a spike bat.
I know.
Because he really likes to be hurt.
Because all I'm in for is to entertain our audience.
Well, okay.
That's all I'm looking to do.
For those who get this, the part of the audience that gets this, you'll get it. For the rest of you, maybe you'll look it up. Don will only be happy if the punishments are chosen from the Method Man interlude from the Wu-Tang album. It's all of those things. You get hit with a spiked bat, and you know what? Sewing a certain...
I'll keep feeding you.
And keep feeding you.
And feeding you.
I mean, those are the only things... Those are the only things he wants.
But that's stuff to worry about. I don't want to lose because I don't want things to happen. Listen, I love this show like no other, okay?
Is that true?
This show's important to me. It's part of my life. You know, Marco, one of his first words was the Michael K. Show.
Michael
K. I don't go to work. Who? I'm the Michael K. Show.
Bothers
this
him
is my own. Life. Even more than my, I'm on the Michael K. Show more than Michael.
That's fact.
I care about this show.
No, Michael K.
That's all I care about is this show and want it to be the best it possibly could be. So all I'm thinking about is what works.
I hear you. I just think this is like...
We're lame. We're lame-os. That's all. That's fine.
All right. So before we get into the Aaron Rodgers discussion...
Do it.
Yesterday, the Rangers played a very, very entertaining game.
I heard.
And Don was doing a play-by-play.
They've had a lot of those this year.
Right? So I was locked in on the Nets game.
Okay.
All right? Nets
Why?
Against the Clippers. Because basketball interests me more than hockey.
So he was honest. He gave you an honest answer.
No, because you got a thing for yes. The way I have a thing for the K-Show, you have a thing for yes.
I love yes.
All right. Well, there you go. Confirmed.
And so Ryan Hurley, our Pinhead PD... sent out a text. Don just made the most incredible call on the Mika Zibanejad call.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I dismissed it because Ryan just being a cheerleader for Don. Everybody loves Don.
Yeah, right. You've seen it. You've seen
I've seen that act before.
Yeah, sure you have.
Then about a second and a half later, a big-time television executive that I know.
What?
Not involved with ESPN.
Hmm.
Texted me and said, Don just made one of the greatest hockey goal calls I've ever heard in my life.
What? That's outrageous. Is he a hockey fan?
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Because maybe if it's the first call he heard, then I can understand. But wow,
so
that's pretty.
What I've done, I had a little razor blade, I spliced it up, and I've got the call.
Okay, just the one?
This is the one he was referring to. Everybody says is sending him to Toronto.
This is the game winner?
No, this is the one who tied the score at four.
Okay.
Here it is. Don, last night on 98.7.
Panarin back behind the net. Centers to Zibanejad, who scores! Mika Zibanejad has tied it at four!
Nice.
I'm going to be honest because Don's my friend. Sounds like what he does every night. Fantastic call.
Oh, well,
what makes that different than...
I'm not sure. This is not coming from me.
What the F?
Now, here's his overtime call.
Okay.
And, I mean, if you want to hear steppage, this is steppage like you've never heard
before. I heard
it.
This is rough.
Here is the Lafreniere overtime goal. They gave the Rangers a very exciting 5-4 win.
Here comes Lafreniere skating with Zibanejad. Lafreniere feathers to Zibanejad and a save by Markstrom. Lafreniere wide open net. Score!
Finally!
Markstrom made the save on Zibanejad, leaving it wide open for Alexei Lafreniere. And the Rangers win it 5-4.
That's Stemmer steppage.
Now, I know you respect Stemmer.
Yeah.
And you love him.
He's an older man, but when he said finally, at that point,
you wanted
to backhand him right in the mouth. Right in the mouth. Bam!
Shut up, Stemmer. Right.
Thank you for complimenting my call.
By him screaming finally?
No, he added a little flavor to it.
Added the flav.
Because Don's used to hearing that word on anniversaries.
What? Which one?
Finally.
Or I think you meant flavor, but
it is funny though because I don't want to be that guy because I'm always a jerk,
right?
But the call that everybody's raving about, it's a Don call.
Yeah, but so
it's nothing outrageously great.
The story you told is real.
Yeah,
a real executive.
Yes.
Will you tell us who it is off the air?
Yes, I will.
I mean, like that's wild because it was good.
It was a Don call.
Like Don, would you even rank that among your best favorite calls?
I mean, I was happy with it. I was surprised that it got the reaction that it got, but I'm happy. I was happy with the game.
I believe that people go out of their way to compliment Don, and they go out of their way to rip me.
Why's that to be about you?
But you know,
it's always about me.
But there's a reason.
Why is that? Because Don's a good guy.
Correct. He's a much better human being, and I think that that affects people. And I say that with all
it affects their ears, is what you're
saying. Yeah, no, they want to root for him.
People root against me.
Correct.
You're the only person
who
that
keeps
says
it real
correct other than Jody. Jody never says, yeah, you're yes, or yeah, right. She'll always go, correct.
It's a my brother thing. My brother says it to me when he's agreeing with me. Correct. Correct.
Yeah, Jody always says correct.
I'm glad I make you feel. I thought you were going to say I'm the only person who keeps it real with you. Because no. Other people make things up. No, people like Don more, so they root for him.
Well, you know, they like Don more than you, too.
I totally agree.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I think in good guyness, I'm somewhere between the two of you.
No, you're just as bad as I am. But
no.
Don, no one thinks that. Nature's great Don, right? This is what he said just moments ago.
I do look good
if you
today.
Replaced God, I would worship Satan.
That's a good guy?
That was tough.
When you said to me that the bet was I have to bow to you, how do you expect me to react?
It wasn't you're not a bet. A deity. I don't want anything from you.
I was just trying to accentuate the fact that you're not a deity, and if you did become one, I'd join the other side.
That is tough, though, that you join the other side.
Would you?
But I'd rather bow to him than Satan. Assuming Satan's like who we really think
We don't know.
But yeah, he
so
could be.
So you take your chance with who Satan is rather than bowing to me.
Never met Satan.
I mean, I've enjoyed the music.
That's right.
Wow.
He likes Ozzy Osbourne.
Let's go to Dan.
Listen to Venom at War with Satan. It's basically right out of their Bible. Enjoy every second.
Love The Exorcist.
Yeah, you know what? If you go by movies and music,
Satan's got it going on.
Yeah, man. I'll take it. I'll take an interview.
So you don't like the George Burns vehicle when he's God?
Love it.
All right. Isn't that better than the devil movie?
Yeah, but you're no George Burns. Is what he's thinking. Right?
No, you're not George Burns.
I didn't say I was George Burns. Half the audience going George Burns.
Well, no,
Siri,
that's
who
on
is
them.
George Burns?
That's on them.
Alexa, who is George?
You
Burns?
You have to know who George Burns is.
I don't think a lot of, I'd say, well, take a poll. 25-year-old people have no idea who George Burns is. None. They have no idea who his wife is.
I don't remember who his
Gracie
wife
Gracie Allen.
Burns and Allen?
Now you've gotten too old for me.
George Burns was 101 when he died.
Right. What I'm saying is, so if you're really looking at this in a real, like, intellectual way.
Okay.
The 25-year-old doesn't know who George Burns is. The 43-year-old, me, knows who George Burns is, but I don't know Burns and Allen. I just know George Burns from being a comedian, smoking a cigar, doing commercials, and being part of America.
But you think of George Burns as a Methuselah, an old
very
man.
Old.
But he was a very hip guy with Gracie Allen.
Right, I do
but,
know
but,
that.
But Gracie Allen died in, like, 53. Like, she died very early. So you really got to be old school to remember.
But Burns
her.
And Allen was on
no,
TV.
I get it, but
his, not in my lifetime.
On TV. TV.
Burns
no.
and Allen?
No.
Nickelodeon?
They were doing Carnation commercials in the show. That's how old it was.
Yeah, no.
Five.
Anthony, you're a young man Hi. With a hideous goatee.
That is right. All
Do
true.
Do you know who George Burns is?
No.
Don't know wow. who he is.
We really are old.
Well, those Oh God movies were like late 70s. Oh God Book 2 was, I think, 80. Best explanation I ever got about, like, why bad things happen in the world was from that movie, when he's playing God.
What did George say?
He said, because the reason that there's death and there's disaster is that you have to weigh it. If in order to have good, you have to have bad. How can you appreciate good if there's no bad? And I thought about it. I'm like, that's exactly it, right? If everything was good, we'd have nothing to compare it to. So you have to have bad things so that we can appreciate the good things.
I don't buy it.
I'm just saying
but
that,
if God wanted to be really good, he'd just make everything good and everybody would be happy all the time. I think they would appreciate it.
Have you followed human behavior?
Yeah.
We take things for granted. We don't appreciate anything.
Woj has a tweet he just sent out. Kevin Durant had interest in a deal to the Suns over the summer, but so far the Nets haven't shown a willingness to move him to Phoenix or anywhere else, sources tell ESPN. There have been a number of teams reaching out to Brooklyn on Durant. Interesting that he didn't talk to the media yesterday. He was there, Durant.
So what would your guess be if they went to him? Do you want to be here?
I want to go. But I think he'll see out the season. I think he wants to go.
Why not see out the season, right?
Yeah,
you're
why
a playoff team right now. You're going to make the playoffs. So why don't you see it through? And then during the offseason.
And also, the Suns want him. DeAndre Ayton? I'm good. I mean, send me Devin Booker. This is one of the greatest players of all time.
True.
You want this guy, step up and give me a great player. DeAndre Ayton's a nice player. He's not Kevin Durant. No matter whatever package they put together, it's not Kevin Durant.
No, they don't have to get rid of him.
No, they don't have to, but then you can have a very unhappy person on your
team.
Well,
I guess that's what they're banking on is that you're going to have to deal him sooner or later.
so might as well do it now. But I would just see through this year. If they were out, if they were like the Lakers in 13th place, I'd say, listen, just trade them now. But they can have home court. They could right now for the rest of the season solidify a playoff spot and maybe win a round.
And the way Cam Thomas is playing, I'm not saying he's going to replace Kyrie Irving, but he's the second youngest player in the history of basketball to score 40 or more points in successive games.
That was something.
He had 47 right? yesterday. Yeesh. While I was watching the game and Don was feathering and stuff like that and being stepped on by Stemmer.
Stemmer steppage.
Did you, after Stemmage. Like everything was over, you know,
finally
talk to Pete and go, that's not cool?
No.
Oh, man.
Because I don't think it's not cool.
Let's go to Dan in Saratoga. Danny.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Dan.
What's going on? I have a comparison. Don, I love you so much. And your take on the punishment, how it's there's a lack of a punishment. And actually, your style a little bit kind of reminds me of an old-time wrestler. Peter, follow me here.
Go ahead.
Mick Foley. I can see Don. I see the comparison there. A little mankind.
I've heard
action,
that before. I've heard that.
I'm sure you've gotten Foley.
Yeah. Yes, I've gotten Foley.
I could picture you in Hell in a Cell jumping off, getting thrown off by the Undertaker. That's all I could
do. I would love it. I'd love to see it.
Now
I
we're
see
talking.
More Gorilla Monsoon.
Really?
Yeah.
Monsoon is a really large man. Although Foley's pretty big too, but Monsoon was like 6'5", 6'6", 400 pounds.
Yeah, I know.
Also, speaking of which, I want to send well wishes out there.
To whom?
Jerry the King Lawler, who I do all the kickoff shows with, he reportedly had a stroke last night.
Oh, no.
And is in the hospital. So sending the King my best.
Yeah, get better. We have Mina Kynes coming up next.
Yeah, I'm very excited about having Mina on the show.
You're the one who really booked Mina.
Who's Mima?
Mima is...
My mom is called Mima.
By who?
The kids.
Her grandchildren.
That's right.
Not grandma.
No, she's
I've never
Mima.
Been a fan of that. Never been a fan of it. Like grandmothers that don't want to be called grandma. I don't like it.
My mother
was called Nana from my sister's kids. I don't get it. You're a grandmother. You're not a Mima.
Hold on. My mother did not do anything to avoid the name grandma.
Okay.
They just started calling her Mima.
Okay. It wasn't like, don't call me.
No.
Okay.
No.
And what do they call the great Jay?
Grandma.
Right. Because that's what she is.
Yeah, I mean,
but if they said Mima, I wouldn't tell them they're wrong. Do what you got to do. They just say grandma.
And Michael, no, yeah,
because that's what I said. I said grandma.
No, I understand it, but there are grandmothers that don't want to. Like, I'm not that old. Don't call me grandma. And they call my mother didn't do that. I don't know why they called her Nana. I just don't know why, but they did.
Wait, what?
My nieces and nephew called her Nana.
Your nieces and nephew.
But it wasn't because my mother said don't call me grandma.
Right, it just happened naturally.
Right.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mina, thank you for joining us. Michael, Don, and Peter here.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, tell us who you like in this game, because we're going back and forth on it.
Man, I've gone back and forth on it like a million times, maybe more so than any Super Bowl in recent history. You know, you got the best team on one side in the Eagles. You have the best quarterback on the other side in Kansas City. I think because it's so close, I'm giving the edge to the Chiefs. The feeling for me is just that if this comes down to the wire, I'm going to trust 15, but I don't feel great about it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way, because you could say, well, the last time Mahomes didn't win the Super Bowl was a ton of pressure the Buccaneers applied. Philadelphia is still capable of doing that. But on the other side of it is, like, do I buy into anything Philadelphia has done in the postseason? They beat a team without a quarterback, and they beat a team in the second round that clearly was not on their level. So I really don't know what to take from Philadelphia's two playoff games.
You know, something you're going to hear a lot this week is how easy the Eagles' schedule was, not just in the postseason, but the level of quarterback play they encountered all year long. I mean, by most advanced metrics, they had the easiest schedule in football. But with that in mind, I still think the underlying quality of the roster is so impressive. I think you can still imagine, even if they had a harder schedule, I think they would be in the Super Bowl, especially, and you alluded to this kind of with the challenge that Patrick Mahomes is going to face from pressure, just how good they are in the trenches on both sides of the football. Now, I will say this, the Chiefs lost that Super Bowl versus Tampa and basically said, never again. We are going to do everything possible to build the offensive line. And I think, you know, they really prioritized protecting Patrick Mahomes over giving him people to throw to. It's part of the reason why they traded away Tyreek Hill. So I don't foresee it playing out like that Super Bowl just because this Chiefs offensive line, particularly on the interior, is much better.
How much I was thinking, Mina, that like if Patrick Mahomes is to go on the guy that to be the guy we all seem to believe he will be, and the people that you talk to every day on TV believe he will be, it kind of feels like he has to get this one. You know, you can't just keep going back to the Super Bowl. Losing two straight is tough. How important do you think it is for the overall big long term Patrick Mahomes legacy for him to get this one while he's back?
You know, it would be pretty devastating, I think, to have this kind of five-year run and only come out of it with, which, by the way, is the most dominant quarterback play we've seen over 5 years ever in the history of the NFL. And to only come out with one Super Bowl would be disappointing. But the one thing that strikes me about the Chiefs, guys, is they're going to be back. This is a very young team, and this is part of the reason why I think they weren't necessarily the favorites coming into the season after the Hill trade, is they got so much younger. They're starting more rookies on defense in the playoffs than we've seen like in the last 15 years. And that actually makes me hopeful for the future of the franchise because, you know, this is not a team that is in their all-in window at the moment. They sort of did something interesting, which is they didn't rebuild, but they sort of reset the window with the Hill trade in a way that I think is going to, you know, pay dividends down the road.
I mean, one of the keys of this, Mina, is whether or not, you know, Mahomes is totally healthy. What's the buzz there? Do they think he's recovered completely? Because usually that's a 4 to 6 week injury. He did play in the week right after, which was amazing. But how do they think he's going to be health-wise?
Well, the Eagles are certainly planning for a fully mobile Patrick Mahomes. So I think, you know, the further he gets out from the injury, the healthier he'll be. It almost didn't seem to matter in the Bengals game. I do think it'll matter more against this Eagles pass rush. And it's so important. I mean, think of all the moments where, you know, not just Mahomes extending plays with his legs, finding guys downfield, but how many times the playoffs, and this certainly actually played out the very end of the Bengals game, where a team's playing man coverage, as I suspect the Eagles will do a decent amount in this game, they turn their backs, and Mahomes unleashes the like most infuriating 9-yard run you'll ever see. Right, where he kind of looks like he's tiptoeing. You're like, how? He's not even that fast. We go, he's fast enough. And I think that will make a big difference in this game.
You know, Mina, I want to get back to like the legacy of Mahomes. Like, if he doesn't win, he's just got the one. But really, outside of Brady, like, who has really been better as far as accumulating Super Bowls, right? I mean, Peyton Manning got two, but he was a passenger in Denver. Favre won, Rodgers won, Breeze won. Well, but I'm saying of this era, of this ilk of quarterback over the last 20, 25 years or so, I mean, outside of Brady, Mina, and I guess Eli, like, really, who has accumulated a ton more than just the one, maybe the two if they hung on a little bit longer like Peyton did?
I mean, you name them in this era. I think you have to go further back to your Montanas, your Len Dawsons, right? Bart Starrs. I mean, recently, though, it's been Brady. And then Eli, which is, by the way, you know, the Eli Super Bowls are a good example of how so much of it can come down to pass and the roster around the quarterback. Not to disrespect Eli, but I don't think people look back at him as having the kind of dominant run Mahomes is on, it's very hard to get to a Super Bowl. And the fact that Brady got there, not just a testament to his greatness, but also how well run that New England franchise was. I mean, several of those Super Bowls were won because of their defenses. I don't think people will be saying that about Kansas City anytime soon.
What's your hunch, Mina, about where Aaron Rodgers plays next year?
When he emerges from his darkness retreat.
Once the ayahuasca wears off and he stops listening to fish, where will he land?
During the season and the end of the season, I thought most likely he would just return to Green Bay. I think from his perspective, wanting to win a Super Bowl, it's probably better to stay in the NFC, which is less competitive. And I think that roster is going to be better next year. But if he does want to go, the Jets, to me, jump out as the by far best destination for both sides. I've seen speculation tying him to Las Vegas, Devontae Adams, former teammate, openly recruiting him. But frankly, if he wants to get to a Super Bowl, there's zero reason to choose the Raiders over the Jets, in my mind. Jets have a Super Bowl-caliber defense already. Mm-hmm. They've got some nice young skill players. Probably have to improve that offensive line a little bit. But to have a quarterback who is, really risk-averse the way he is a really nice pairing with that defense.
It seems like there's just a thing about the Jets that people don't think it could happen. Maybe they don't like the ownership. Maybe they don't like the constant turnover. Maybe they don't like a defensive coach. Maybe he's attracted to the taxes in Nevada as well. I mean, there are a lot of other things. And one thing that I just don't see that other people see, Mina, is that everybody's saying, well, the Jets are a quarterback away from the Super Bowl. I don't see that. Their highly vaunted defense cracked twice in big games against the Lions is one that jumped out at me the most. They just don't seem like they're ready-made for Super Bowl, even if he got there.
I mean, I disagree. I think the defense is absolutely ready. Look, great defenses have letdowns, but it's really hard when you're a young defense the way they are, and then one that's being consistently let down by your offense all season long. I think there's like a certain confidence that comes, watch Chiefs defense, that comes with having not just a good quarterback, but a great quarterback that really changes the and pretty much everything when it comes to defense. But I also think this is defense that is going to get even better. They're way ahead of schedule with their young talent. I want to be clear, though. They're not a Super Bowl favorite with Aaron Rodgers, still in a very difficult division. And AFC, as I mentioned, is a nightmare. But they become contenders. And I think that's what's going to be, to me, the sticking point for Rodgers. Does he actually want to play for a contender and is that his number one priority?
Any theories on why Vegas has the Raiders as the favorite to land them?
I don't know. It might be the Adams quotes. Maybe the tax thing. I truly don't know. It's not like they have from a financial perspective or draft perspective, it doesn't really make sense to me. Rodgers also, does have the no trade clause, so he does have some discretion over where he ends up. But, I'm thinking logically. I'm thinking from the perspective, do you want to win a Super Bowl? And again, I will never underestimate our inability to read Aaron Rodgers' mind, so who knows what really matters to him.
Mina, how surprised were you with Geno Smith this season?
Oh, man, I was really surprised. I thought that he was better than Drew Lock. I'll start by saying I'm surprised that they actually let him win the job because it seemed like when they made the Wilson trade, there was, and I'd heard things to this effect, that they wanted Drew Lock to be the guy, but Geno so thoroughly outplayed him, it wasn't a question. And I was also surprised because, Geno did play when Russell Wilson was injured three games in 2021, and one was awesome, one was okay, and one was not great. So, I knew he was an accurate quarterback. I think the way he surprised me the most this season was with the playmaking. And then some of the mobility he flashed at times. Those were things kind of I didn't really know he had in his bag. And so, I think they speak to a quarterback who, during his time off from being a starter, really grew at the position in a number of ways.
Do you believe Sean Payton can fix Russell Wilson, or is Russell Wilson at the point where he's not fixable?
I think he can get better play out of him. I think he is extremely adaptive when it comes to calling offense. I mean, we're talking about a coach who, we think of obviously about those dominant Drew Brees years, but also called an efficient offense with Taysom Hill went 6-0, I believe, with Teddy Bridgewater, maybe 6-1 with Teddy Bridgewater. And then, of course, Drew Brees at the end of his career wasn't really pushing the ball downfield. He is very talented at finding ways to win on offense. So I have no doubt that it'll look better. Now, will it be great? I think that would be a bit of a stretch.
What is, in your opinion, Dan Orlovsky's worst food take?
Wow.
I know there's so many, and you're with him a lot, but is there one that stands out head and shoulders above the rest?
The cucumbers and tacos is pretty rough.
See, I thought that was
that
mild.
Might be it.
I thought that was kind of mild for
yeah,
Dan.
Yeah, I think that would actually taste
you're
good.
You're just ruining a good thing.
You're not a big cucumber fan?
I mean, not in tacos.
Yeah,
tacos are like a perfect food.
Yeah, I know. Tacos are something you don't need to amend. But, like, relative to how bad he can be, I mean, I was disgusted the other day by his nachos, which he claims weren't his fault. Obviously, as you can tell, though, Mina, I fully bought into the Dan food gimmick on Twitter. It actually enrages me.
It's not
me.
A gimmick. No. There is no gimmick about it. I've seen this man eat with the cameras are off when he's not posting stuff. It's just as bad. He has never once lied about one of his
But he has admitted he does enjoy the reaction he gets on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Mina, do you still enjoy Super Bowl week? We bailed on it like 5 years ago already. We kind of bailed on going to Radio Row and doing the whole thing. Do you still enjoy the whole camaraderie and the entire football world being focused there for 2 weeks?
I do. I'm heading out in just actually a few hours for Phoenix from Los Angeles, where I live. And for me and for everyone, you know, who covers the NFL, it's like kind of like a high school reunion, because you get to see a lot of people you don't see during the regular season. I don't travel to games, you know, we're at studio show NFL Live. So it's fun just to kind of meet up with old friends.
Mina, we thank you so much for coming on. Have safe travels and enjoy the rest of the week in Phoenix.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Thanks.
All right. That's Mina Kimes. That's a big game preview brought to you by Jackpocket. Powerball is $20 million. Mega Million is now $31 million. Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app. Get your first ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. We'll talk more about Rodgers and what Vegas thinks and what some people are saying is fact. Doesn't look great for the Jets if you take what they're saying as fact.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
But this guy said that people in Aaron Rodgers' agency, and this, by the way, is the Gang Green Report brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers, saying that Rodgers prefers to go to the Las Vegas Raiders. That doesn't bode well for the Jets. And, you know, we kind of went back and forth about this with Mina. I mean, there are attractive things about the Raiders. They have an offensive-minded coach who's, you know, worked extensively with Tom Brady. I don't know if it's zero tax, but very low taxes in Vegas. And you're talking about playing for the Jets, where the taxes in New York and New Jersey are exorbitant. They just are. It's a fact. And I think the old bromide, well, whatever you lose in taxes, you can make up on Madison Avenue. It doesn't apply anymore. I'm sorry. Listen, I love New York, and I think New York is the pinnacle. But you don't have to be in New York to become an advertising star. You know, you said it during our meeting, Peter. You know, he's a discount double check guy playing in Green Bay.
That's what I'm saying.
He's on every single State Farm commercial playing in Green Bay. Even with some of the silly stuff he said and the vaccine stuff that rubbed people the wrong way, he didn't lose his gigs. So he's not going to pick up any more gigs in New York. And then when you talk about legacy, you know, imagine being the guy that comes to the Jets and snaps the long. Okay. For some people, it matters. If he never had a ring before, maybe it would matter more. He did it. He has won a ring. And yeah, I do agree you'd become part of forever. But we don't live for forever. So does it matter to you that you're part of forever? These are some of the things. I just think people put it out there. Well, because we're all New Yorkers. Most of the people listening to the show are New Yorkers, or Jersey, whatever, or Connecticut. And we realize the value of this area, how great it is to live here, the energy. But I don't think that that's universal.
Well, I the thing that scares me, and I thought about this during our meeting, you know, because we look at New York as special. We grew up here. We've made our livings here. And I do believe it's special. If you, what did Frank say? If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. But I'm just wondering, when has New York ever been a destination when all things are equal? Honestly. Now, if you're Roger Clemens and you want to win a ring, you go to the Yankees because the Yankees were a team that was about to win a championship. But, Michael, when the Yankees were very average, I can give you a laundry list of people that didn't want to play here, didn't want to be in New York, even the New York Yankees. The taxes are obnoxious. The traffic is terrible. And the other thing that really hurts is the fact is, all right, I'm going to try to sell New York to a Jet. You play in Florham Park. You live in Morris County. You're 45 minutes outside the city. Like, so, you know, if I want to be a Nick or a Ranger, well, you practice in Greenberg. That's where you spend all your time. You fly out of Westchester Airport. If you live in downtown Manhattan, it's a pain in the neck to go to practice and go to travel to games all the time. I love it here. But I'm just wondering, maybe Peter's the perfect person to ask. Outside of New York, is there a draw here? Especially in a sport like football where I can make my millions anywhere. Peyton Manning was hosting Saturday Night Live as a cult.
I mean, listen, New York still has New York's appeal. It's not like we're not completely delusional in thinking that New York matters. Culturally, it matters. Business-wise, it matters. I just don't know that the draw is strong enough, as strong as we believe it is, for athletes. If it was a media person you were talking about,
of course,
then it's different. But these athletes, they're big everywhere. You know, John Morant's a star in Memphis. You could be, Giannis is a star in Milwaukee. Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. It's all, Patrick in Kansas City. Like, these are random markets when you think about it.
But also, you know, and having, you know, what, 40% of my salary taken away by taxes?
Yeah, and when you're Aaron Rodgers, the next year you're going to make $58 million. Essentially, that's $28 million that you're giving to the government. You can fall on whichever side you want, but I don't think that Vegas has it. Vegas might have no state tax.
So you're still spending, he's still going to lose whatever percentage you give to the feds.
Right.
He's still going to lose $10 million or whatever it is, 15, right. But he's not losing $28
million. Right, and you can say, well, when you have that much money, who are the people that try to avoid taxes? The richest people.
Yeah, you
not
made that,
the average people.
You made that point to me off the air, and it's such a good point. Like, don't get me wrong, taxes are a lot for regular people. But when you get to numbers that are that high, the sheer dollar amount you're talking about losing, it's just gigantic.
Yeah, and people don't want to do it. And the richer people shouldn't have that much of a problem because they're still going to be ultra rich, but they got rich because they count every single penny.
Listen, I said it the other day. I think the draw would be immense, right? You come here, you slay the dragon. You'll never have to pay for another drink in Manhattan again. You'd come here for signings 20, 30 years from now, and you'll spend the entire weekend in New York where you'll spend 12 hours in Milwaukee. But just thinking about it a little deeper, like, that's how we feel because we live in New York. But how does a guy who grew up in California and has spent his entire career in Wisconsin, how does he look at New York? And more importantly, how does he look at the Jets?
And the unspoken little secret. Fans here
dirty
are
little secret.
Really, really tough.
Yeah.
Really tough. Because just consider this, everybody, and I'm not knocking anybody, and I'm not saying you don't have the right. So don't get your the hair on the back of your neck standing up. Aaron Judge won the MVP. He hit 62 home runs. He broke a record that stood for 61 years by Roger Maris. He did everything you'd possibly want a player to do, and he had a terrible postseason, and he got booed. You don't think players see that?
That's right.
Again, I know what the argument. We have every right. You have every right. I'm not saying that you don't. Other players see it. If Aaron Judge could get booed, what would happen to me? You don't think Aaron Rodgers would be booed out of MetLife Stadium if he had a terrible year? Does he need the aggravation? So, well, we all look at it through our New York-centric glasses, but other people look at it in a black and white way. Do I want to put up with talk radio? Do I want to put up the tabloids? And do I want to put up with an ultra-demanding fan base?
And some people yearn for that. Like, we look at Messier slaying the dragon, but people forget the first year he got here, you know, they win the President's Trophy, get bounced in the second round, then miss the playoffs. Then he finally wins the Stanley Cup, and he's a god, but there was a lot of complaining, a lot of moaning and groaning, like, what's going on here? Is he going to be able to deliver? Now, he fed into that. He loved it. I don't know, is Aaron Rodgers going to love that? Because there is something, guys, to coming to New York where really the only success is going to be judged on winning a championship. Anything less, it's going to be your fault.
Not going to blame Sala. They're not going to blame Douglas. They're going to blame you because you came here with the promise of winning a ring. Some guys flourish in that atmosphere. They love it. Some guys wilt under it. Or some guys just don't want to be bothered with it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.